RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Crush Performance. We are back on the air. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. And we are your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. As the good gentleman said, crushperformance.com is our website. You can get our podcasts, our blog, links to all the performance information you would ever dream of at crushperformance.com. And if you do have questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us. info@crushperformance.com is the email. And listen, if you have a topic or an idea or a question you want us to answer, get to us. info@crushperformance.com. There is not an email we get that we do not answer. And we've had a bunch of them here over the last couple of weeks. And I think that has a lot to do with the great lineup of guests that we've had this spring. So, today we're going to take a little different approach, and we're going to answer some of those emails that have been coming in. There's been some common themes amongst the emails and texts that we've been seeing. So we're going to get to some of those later today. We're going to talk with Mark Mageau from TSN 1260, the producer for the Jason Greger Show and also co-host for the Basketball Hour on TSN 1260 right here. And we're going to talk to him about the NBA playoffs and 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics. What do you guys think of that? Let us know. And we're also going to talk to him about his trip to New York. And I've been meaning to get him on the air to talk about this because, man, oh, man, he made an epic trip earlier this year as he went to New York to be in New York Stadium, the Yankee Stadium, for the retirement of Derek Jeter's jersey, which was fantastic. He's going to tell us about that. Is there a more iconic player, athlete in today's world than Derek Jeter? Connor, let me ask you this question. Is there a bigger, maybe more important franchise player in recent sport history than Derek Jeter, do you think?
I think if there were, you look at Tom Brady in the NFL,
yeah,
just all that he's gone through, you know, winning. And then you saw how the public reacted to his 4-game suspension. And a lot of people thought, no, you're just going after this guy, the commissioner, Roger Goodell. So if I had to think of one, maybe Tom Brady in the NHL. See, Sidney Crosby's kind of hated by a lot of teams. And I was a Jays fan growing up, and I still liked Derek Jeter. He was just a guy that he was classy. You had to respect him. He backed it up on the field. I don't know if there is one like him.
He was never really in the spotlight, Jeter. He just sort of stayed in the background, did his job really, really well for a long, long time. And you couldn't help but like him. Now, here's the cool thing. A lot of people don't know this about Toronto. When I was the strength coach for the Toronto Blue Jays, we only had one weight room. And it was a pretty cool scenario because it was right off the ground screw guys where they were grinding up the dirt and fixing all the clay for the mounds and the base paths. And I was dirty and dusty at times. But the cool thing about the Sky Dome at that time, all the visiting teams used our weight room. So when I started in the big leagues, it was a real tough schedule. We started on the road. My first big league experience was on the road. And I was trying to line up times to get the guys in the weight rooms. And it's just these obscure, crazy times. It just made no sense. It would be either early, early in the morning, like 11 o'clock, or like 2 hours after the game, midnight or 1 a.m. Just made no sense at all. So I got a little frustrated, starting on the road. I'm going, this is crazy. We can't get our work done. And that's just sort of the way it was in the big leagues at the time. Some of the new stadiums had visitors, weight rooms, and workout rooms, which was great, but majority of them still only had one weight room. So what I did is in our first homestand, we opened against the Yankees. I know the Yankees were there in our first homestand, for me anyway, the first homestand when I was in the big leagues. And Jeff Mangold was their strength coach. He goes, hey, Crusher, he phones down. Hey, listen, wondering when I can get the guys in the weight room. I said, well, hey, just give me a call. When you're coming down, let me know when you're coming down. If I have a lot of guys in, I'll let you know. But if not, hey, it's wide open. And there's like crickets on the line. He's like, what do you mean? I said, yeah, come on down anytime. And so we started getting this. And when everybody came to Toronto, they loved it. And then for our guys, when we started traveling around, we got pretty carte blanche in basically every single ballpark. And it turned out to be pretty cool because now this, get this, this is back in the day of where they're just burning CDs. There's no digital music at the time. But like the Kansas City Royals, and there were a couple guys on the Boston Red Sox who actually had their own bands. And the Yankees, they would bring in like Crush Power Hour. Because when the guys were in the weight room, I was it was a fun place to be. We were cranking the music, good music. We play everything. You know, after the games, it'd be a little Frank Sinatra. But the team started bringing in CDs with their team logos on it to play when they came into town, or they bring them just for me to play. So that turned out to be pretty cool. But the great thing about that, Connor, is you kind of got to know every single player. And I could tell you this, it would be really cool for me as a young professional at that time to see how these guys operate behind the scenes. You know, when Yankees came to town, you knew who the regulars were. And that day, man, you had Posada. You had that whole core group of guys. And there was a good number of them. Joe Torre would come in early with a few of the guys. But that was one of the great things about being in Toronto. But, you know, to see Jeter and how he handled himself behind the scenes, there is, again, the one thing that we know about top performers in any sport is just their consistency. And it was routine, it was regular, but it was really deliberate. And every time Yankees came to town, there was that core group of guys who were, you know who they were. They were the best of the best. And Jeter was always there. So behind the scenes, he was there as well.
Yeah, and a great text coming in here at 10-12-60, the Boston Pizza inbox. Not only did Jeter stay out of the spotlight, but he did it in New York. That alone is an amazing feat.
Oh, there's nothing like New York. You know, you look at environments like Toronto, where there's, you know, just a number of newspapers, leave alone TV and radio there. They're all over these guys, but New York is a whole other ball game. And a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember this, Connor, we did a show called Playing in Pinstripes, where we got some of our buddies who actually wound up playing for the Yankees at a time to tell us about the experience about putting on the pinstripes. And it was different. And every one of those guys mentions Jeter. Jeter was a Yankee. Now, here's my next question for you. And I'm really excited to talk to Mark about this coming up in the next segment because he went to New York for Jeter's jersey retirement. Do you think we'll see another Jeter-esque type player in any sport where we have a franchise guy start to finish? I mean, we look at Mike Trout, just the way the finances go now. Is it even possible?
You know, I mean, that would be the tough part. I think just the personality, I think there are some guys, especially with the social media age. You just look at a local guy, Connor McDavid. The way he handles himself, I think you might see guys like that who tend to stay out of the public eye, just keep to themselves. Obviously, you're going to have your endorsements and things like that, but for the most part, you know, keep the pretty clean image. But you're right, with the whole salary cap age, you know, Wayne Gretzky was traded, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady right now might be the best hope to kind of stick with one team his whole career, like Jeter, as I said earlier. But it'll be tough because there's always going to be teams that can throw more money around. Other temptations, things like that. So it'll be really tough. And baseball's lucky. They've had two. They had Cal Ripken Jr. and then transitioned right into Derek Jeter. There's always kind of been that guy who's can be the face of the game.
Yeah. Could Mike Trout be the next face of the game? I have a favorite player. I have a favorite player right now.
He is absolutely outstanding.
In all of sport. And an active player. My favorite player in all of sport right now is Mike Trout. And, you know, that's all the major sports. You know, I kind of dig LeBron, I dig Curry, I dig those guys. You know, I really like some of the guys in hockey. I'm going to see what that looks like. But right now, man, you know, I look at Mike Trout when he came in and what he's continued to do as a young player and a young professional. He's not just the face of that franchise. He is the face of baseball.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, playing in Anaheim, kind of a smaller market, not the historic franchise. I look at a guy like Bryce Harper as well. The talent's there. A little more fire in his game.
Yes, definitely.
It's a little animated sometimes, so he might be not quite the same as Jeter. But yeah, Mike Trout, he's been the MVP twice?
Twice.
And been nominated three times?
Yeah, and he's in the running again this year.
He's 25 years old.
Yeah, with the injury, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's ridiculous what he's doing down there. He's going to get paid soon, and it's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he'll stay with Anaheim.
Well, and that'll be the question. You know, previous to Mike Trout, Peyton Manning was by far my favorite athlete. Before that, it was Jeter. And Jeter's still up there. So excited to talk to Mark. Later in the show, we're going to answer some of the text questions and some of the emails that we do get. Text 10-12-60. Standard text rates do apply. But if you have questions, comments, or smart remarks for us, get to us today if you're listening live. And again, via email, it's info@crushperformance.com. On Twitter, we're at Jeff Crush. And if you are on Facebook, we got two kind of cool places you can go. You can just go to our page, Crush Performance. We post all of our blogs and some great links. And our listeners often send us some great stuff. And over the past couple of weeks, we've gotten some incredible links and stories from our listeners. So I really want to encourage you guys to keep doing that because I love it. And we repost that. And, you know, we wound up talking about most of those stories on the show here at some point. So we really like the links and the stories that you guys are sending over. But again, if you have a topic or a question, let us know, because we may dedicate a segment of the show or an entire show to the topic. Because listen, we're here to spread the good word. That's the mission statement behind Crush Performance. There is a lot of misinformation out there. And what we're trying to do is dig down deep, keep you guys on the cutting edge of performance and let you know what's going on currently. And often that revolves around, you know, looking at the top performers in sport. If there's one thing we've always said, and one thing I've learned over my career, Connor, it's we like to look to the top to see what's going on. And then we like to learn as much as we possibly can. And that's why I'm excited about talking about these great athletes like Jeter. And, you know, we could really get into a conversation right now about Tiger Woods with what's gone on, because has there been a greater downfall in sport? You know, we look at the success these guys have and the pressure from the media and the public eye. It's a different life form or lifestyle when you get to that level of success, because the pressure is on. How you deal with that pressure is really important. There's a lot to learn from the collapses. And so, Connor, here's my question to you to end this first segment here before we get to Mark Maggio coming up after the break. Has there been a comparable collapse, you know, in an individual athlete like we've seen with Tiger Woods here since he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar?
Yes, I'll give you a couple.
Okay.
Because this is actually a topic on Sportsnet with Dean Millard. We were discussing it. And for one, I look at O.J. Simpson, a guy who, you know, not only was it football, but after football, he got into acting. He was broadcasting. The guy could do no wrong. That's all gone now. So I think that is worse than Tiger, way worse than Tiger Woods. Possibly took two lives. So that's one. And then Lance Armstrong, another one, who was doing such great work. And you can't take away from all the good that he has done, but he was at such a high level. And then it's cheating. It's lying about it. It just was, I thought, a pretty quick fall from grace. Maybe not as dangerous as Tiger Woods going, you know, taking things, driving under an influence and potentially injuring people, but maybe just showing that, you know, cheating. He cheated, and he's a role model for a lot of people out there who might look at him and say, well, Lance Armstrong did it, so can I.
Yeah.
So he's done a lot of good as well, but I think those two would be equal, if not worse.
Comparable? Excellent. Hey, so I've got a couple as well. Would you consider Mike Tyson? Think about that. Think about the people around him and what happened to Mike Tyson. Now, Mike Tyson was always on the edge, but again, we talk about these guys. We look at what happened to them. Honestly, To learn and see how did this happen. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to see what went on. Mike Tyson had some shady people around him. And of course, he was an edgy guy, but man, what a fall from grace there. I mean, honest to goodness, self-destruction.
Yeah, I never really saw him at the peak of his career.
Oh,
he was one of the best boxers of all time. But at the same time, was he someone people look up to as a role model?
So maybe we need to broaden the conversation. I'm not necessarily talking about being role models, just guys who are so good, like epic
performance
good.
to the bottom. Yeah, absolutely. And I think for sure.
Yeah. But being a good person is part of it for sure. But then would we throw A-Rod into this as well? Because let's just face it. Or we could just maybe Roger Clemens with the Mitchell Report. There's so many guys fall from grace. And those guys are both, again, cheating, drugs, and sports. So, you know, there's a lot of things. Ben Johnson, how about that? What about that fall from grace?
And yeah, that one was quick.
Yeah, it was really quick. It was really, really quick. And that was the end of that. So, you know, there's a lot to be learned from that for young developing athletes. You know, it was interesting. Earlier this week, I was out and I spoke at an awards night for a local high school. And, you know, I sit there and go, okay, I've got about 20 minutes. It's kind of like the length of a TED talk, right? What would I say to young, aspiring, you know, eager athletes, boys and girls who want to pursue sport, either making the senior team or making a collegiate scholarship or landing a pro career or representing their country at a national level, what would I say? So I just chose to talk about the process of development, because I don't think a lot of young athletes, I don't think a lot of coaches, and I certainly don't think a lot of parents truly understand the process of development and how you have to mature with the process, because what gets you to one level of sport won't get you to the next level. And that's why we always say, Connor, hey, look to the greats to see what's going on and then see how it can maybe apply to where you're at in a way that can help you achieve your goals. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was fun. And I got to thank those guys for having me out at Sturgeon Comp. Great, great athletics program out there. So again, great conversation. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Mark Mageau. He was in New York for the retirement of Derek Jeter's number. And I want to talk about that because we've been trying to get to this for the last few weeks. We just haven't been able to. So I'm glad to track Mark down. We're going to talk a little basketball and 3-on-3 in the Olympics. Not so sure. I wasn't sure about rugby sevens either. It turned out to be fantastic. So we'll talk about that. And then later in the show, you know, talking about fall from grace, if we look at what's happening in the track and field world, and of course, before the Rio Olympics with the doping and all the scandals that we saw heading into the Olympics, well, the IAAF has just launched a massive initiative that I believe could change the face of sport. They've started an incredible program called the Athlete Integrity Unit. We're going to talk about that at the end of towards the end of the show, and we're also going to answer some texts. So stick around. Lots of Crush Performance right after this.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Jeff Crochelle. This is Crush Performance. The Con Man is here keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Today, we are going to get into our mailbox and some of the texts we've been getting over the last little while. There's been some common themes that I want to address coming up here in the next segment. But if you have an idea or a topic or a question that you want us to look into or answer, I'm not saying we have all the answers, but here's one thing I can promise you. When it comes to sport performance or human performance in general, I can guarantee we know somebody that has the answer. So let us know. We're having a great time with all the texts that you guys are sending in and emails as well. Some great questions. And by the way, there's not an email that we do not respond to. Even the smart-ass comments, which we sometimes really appreciate, no lie. So get to us on the website, info@crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter, @JeffCrush. And if you're on Facebook, again, we got two really cool areas you can go to, our Crush Performance page. But if you want to join our group, it's called The Talent Grid. And we've got a great group of, you know, parents, athletes, high-performance coaches, pro athletes. We got coaches in professional sports leagues in our group there, and they're all just sharing information. When somebody posts something in The Talent Grid, you'll want to read it. So just go to Facebook, punch in The Talent Grid. We'll let you into the group and just start sharing, commenting, or just reading what we post. So thank you guys for that. Right now, I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. I've been trying to get this great gentleman on. Mark Mageau joins us. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Crusher, I'm glad we can finally do this. It's been a couple weeks in the making.
And of course, Mark Mageau, the producer for the Jason Greger Show on TSN 1260 right here, and co-host of the Basketball Hour with Paul Sir. So, Mark, listen, let's cut to the chase here. And this is the sort of exciting topic that I wanted to get to, the retirement of number two in New York. Now, you made the trek. You've been a longtime Yankees fan. But I just wanted to talk about this because, you know, in the first segment, Connor and I were talking about our favorite athletes. And Jeter has always been one of my favorite athletes. I've been an evil empire hater because I'm a Blue Jay fan, of course. Yep. But you can't help but respect that organization, and certainly Derek Jeter. Man, tell us what New York was like at that retirement ceremony.
Yeah, I was there for three games. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And like as soon as I went to the game on the Friday night, the ceremony was on Sunday. But Friday night, you could really feel that it was a special weekend in New York. The fans were ready for the weekend. There was number two stuff all over the Bronx, all over Yankee Stadium, all over the bars outside, and even on the Friday night, people getting excited. And the game was rained out on Saturday, so they had a doubleheader. But you could just feel it. New Yorkers are very honest in their opinions of you. You'll know right away where you stand in the books of certain New Yorkers, and they love Derek Jeter. And it was finally their chance to say, they've had many chances to say thank you, of course, at the closing of the old Yankee Stadium, the opening of the new one, the World Series, and when he retired a couple of years ago. But this was really kind of putting the finishing touches on what was a career that I don't know if we're ever going to see someone have again in pinstripes. So I know they're really looking forward for all of that.
Yeah, no, and we're talking with Mark Mageau, producer of the Jason Greger Show, co-host of the Basketball Hour on TSN 1260. Mark, you know, it's special, no question. In my first year with the Blue Jays, I remember as clear as if it were yesterday, the first time I walked into Yankee Stadium. So we go in the player's entrance, which is kind of around back, you know, sort of like the loading dock area. The way Yankee Stadium is, and then you walk in where everybody's just moving and shaking and getting everything in for the game, all the goods and drinks and all the stuff for the crowd, concessions. We're getting all offloaded on the trucks. We're walking in. You go down into the concourse underneath. Man, I had goosebumps just thinking about who walked in those tunnels over the years. And I remember the first time I stepped onto the field and I watched the Yankees warm up, and there's Derek Jeter. And boy, oh boy, I tell you what, he had a presence on the field. He was fairly low key in terms of personality, but man, he had an aura and a presence about him. And I think that really, really speaks volumes for the impact he had, not just on that team, the organization, but the city and maybe baseball in general.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, he was a kind of a soft spoken kind of guy, but over the last few years, post-retirement, we're starting to see more of a personality from Jeter. You know, a lot of those Yankee beat writers who've been around, that were around for the core for his dynasty, he said he's talking more now than he did when he played. You're hearing some stories that, you know, Derek didn't quite share. So I think that just comes with growing up, to be honest. Like, he was in such a high-profile position, like the shortstop of the New York Yankees. There's only one of those. And I think he spoke about it a lot that week and how he just tried to go out there every single day, put his uniform on and do his job. And, you know, he did his job with the press. He wasn't the greatest quote in the world, but he went out and talked after every game. And I think that's something that a lot of other New Yorkers, really respected about Derek, is that even if you're a garbage man or a taxi driver in the city, you put your uniform on and you go to work and you just try your best. And that's all Derek Jeter did with the New York Yankees. And now his best was very good, don't get me wrong, but it just seemed like the effort was never lacking from Derek.
Yeah, no question. We're talking with Mark Mageau. Mark, Derek Jeter, if you look at his career, if you were a minor league shortstop in the Yankees organization over those years, you were buried. You were a commodity to be traded. You were praying to be traded because you know you're never going to see the light of day. But what influence do you think Derek Jeter had just on how the infield was played? Because I do believe if you look at the era when and the group that he sort of came in with in baseball, that was a pretty exciting time in baseball for infielders.
He's really the last man standing. Of course, you look at the mid to late 90s, you had Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, and Nomar Garciaparra. Now, Jeter's the only one that played for one team his entire career and played the same position throughout his career. Of course, A-Rod bounced around for a bit, as did Nomar. But I think he just, I know there's a ton of blogs, there's a ton of articles that are out how saying, oh, maybe he wasn't the best defensive shortstop, maybe he's even the worst of all time, but it's also because his range was so unbelievable, he got to balls that not every single shortstop could get to. So I think that's something that there's clearly a lot of praise, there's also a lot of hate going around, but I just think the range he had in the field, you know, that patented throw off the back foot to first base, just no ball seemed to be out of reach for Jeter, especially in those prime years, like kind of in the 2000 to 2006 when he was really in his prime. It was just seemed like any time the ball was hit to short, you know he was going to gobble that up.
Yeah, and he finished strong. He went out strong, man, and I loved it. I was kind of secretly had my fingers crossed that he might come back for another year because he could have. If you look at the year, you look at his numbers in his final year, he was still right up there, fantastic.
it was very nervous when once those injuries started adding up. Remember, he went down in that playoff game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would hate to see a guy go out injured or not playing at peak. And not just Jeter, but the same when Mariano Rivera went out. You hate to see players go out on injury, but both those players definitely bounced back and had strong finishes to their career. I'm almost kind of glad he didn't come back for 1 year, though, Crusher, just because when I think about his last game at Yankee Stadium, of course, that walk-off hit, and his last actual at-bat, I believe, was a single in Fenway Park against the Red Sox. Like, it's really hard to top that to wrap up your career. Would have been better to end it as a World Series champion, of course, but there's only one champion every year.
Oh, you Yankee fans. You just want it. You want more. You want more and more and more.
It's been since 2009, man. Right. I'm getting a little restless.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, you guys should be not just restless right now, but also excited because the way the Yankees look right now, that's a conversation for another day. Hey, one more comment on Jeter that I just wanted to run by you because I know you followed him closely over his career being a Yankees fan as you are, Mark. Just the way he handled his personal life as well. There's a lot to be learned there because I do believe, based on the conversations I've had with people that know him and, you know, through the weight room, we never really talked about that stuff in the weight room. It's more casual stuff. But it sounds like it was a very intentional effort not to get married during his playing career and have those distractions. And that's something I think, you know, that you know, a lot of young athletes should consider looking at when they're trying to model their career or their approach to professional sports. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, of course, his name would pop up in the tabloids every once in a while, but really, throughout his 20-year career, was there ever I guess he didn't play through the entire TMZ generation, but was there ever really a Sports Center story about Derek Jeter's nightlife that we've seen around other players? No, there wasn't. And you're right, that was probably done on purpose. He did a very good job at surrounding himself with the right people, not put himself in the situation. But I think he realized where he was, who he was, and what team he played for. Of course, he spoke about how he was mentored by other New York greats. I know he and Mark Messier, they had a relationship, and Messier would give him advice on what to do in certain situations or where to avoid. And, you know, he talked greatly about his relationships with past Yankee players, and they would tell him, like, listen, this is a fun job, but it's still a very important job. And there's certain things that come about it. You don't want to be the guy that drags the pinstripes to the mud. And Jeff, it's not just the pinstripes; it's any team's uniform, right? Yeah. You don't want to be the guy making life difficult for your teammates or for the ownership because they have to answer questions about what you did outside of the ballpark. And I think that's a very important lesson for young athletes to learn. Basketball, a guy like LeBron James, is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking with Mark Mageau from the Jason Greger Show and the Basketball Hour on TSN 1260. Mark, listen, last thing on this baseball side, I do want to switch to basketball here away.
For sure.
The new Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium. I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium yet. I just haven't had the opportunity. But you got a chance to get out there and see the new Monument Park. And, of course, now there's a number two out there.
Yeah, there is. I made it to the old stadium once about 10 years ago, and I have some fond memories of that building. Of course, all the stories that you mentioned, well, your first time, they're just all the stuff that's happened on the field and all the players that have walked through that tunnel, walked on the grass. It's very special. The new stadium, I see why a lot of locals kind of in the neighborhood and diehard Yankee fans do not like the new stadium. It feels very corporate. I think you can see it when you watch some of those games. Remember, Yankee games before 2008, and you'd see behind home plate would usually be full. Now it's full of seat covers because those tickets cost $1 billion. So that's very different. You know, there's sushi stands, there's steak, there's all this kind of stuff, but it's a business. And I think the Steinbrenner family turned the Yankees into one of the most recognizable brands. It's not just in sports, but in the entire world. So yeah, it's not ideal. There's some bad sight lines, but I had a comfy seat and I understood what I was going into. I'm not going to be cramped into the old one in the Bronx. So, again, I understand why some people don't like it, but it's just, I don't want to say it's the cost of doing business in 2017, but that's kind of what it is now.
Yeah, I agree. If you look at the way sport is going and the amount of revenue now that is potentially available if you do it right, there's no question about it. Mark, let's switch gears to the NBA. Man, we have battle going on here, a battle. Is there a potential unbelievable, unimaginable comeback on the way?
Well, here's the thing. I certainly hope so. Like, I'm a big LeBron James fan. I know it sounds like I'm a massive front runner. We just talked about the Yankees for 10 minutes. Now I'm going to go talk about how much I love LeBron James. But I was really I was so disappointed after the third game when Kevin Durant hit that shot and it gave the Warriors a 3-0 lead. Like, I was just devastated. And then what it took last night for the Cavaliers to win a game was an absolutely historic performance. LeBron was unreal. Kyrie Irving was unbelievable. Kevin Love was hitting big shots. And, you know, the Warriors still scored over 110 points and lost that game. So I go back and forth on it. I've thought a lot about it all day, and we discussed it on the Basketball Hour this morning. This could be the most overanalyzed Game 5 blowout in the history of sports. Because on Monday night, would anyone be surprised if the Warriors are leading 25-6, like 5 minutes into that game? I don't think anyone that's watched the series would really be surprised. That's the type of firepower the Golden State Warriors have, whether it's Kevin Durant, who's been unbelievable in this series, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson's been elite defensively. We didn't see that last night, but like, the Warriors could get hot at any single moment. We saw it in Game 2. We saw it a little bit in Game 1 where the Cavs could keep it close and the Warriors just stomped on it. So, honestly, I don't know. I would love to see the Cavs win in Game 5 and send it back to Cleveland for Game 6 because that crowd was unbelievable last night in Game 4. And I think it'd be even just crazier in Game 6. So, honestly, man, I don't know. I would love to see the Cavs win Game 5 and force it, but I would not be surprised if the Warriors just absolutely demolish them on Monday night.
Yeah, okay, that's going to be fun to watch, and maybe we'll touch base on that again. Hey, Mark Majot, you're a Jeter fan, and you just mentioned you're a big LeBron fan. Let me ask you this. Why LeBron? Yeah. Why do you like LeBron so much? What do you think?
LeBron's one of those athletes who I've been fortunate enough to see his entire career, and it's kind of similar with Jeter, although like I don't remember, I was 7 years old, I believe, when he made his MLB debut. But with LeBron James, you know, I was like 13, 12 years old when he got drafted, and we heard about him for a couple years, like he was going to be kind of the it guy. And the generation before me, they had Michael Jordan, and I never gravitated towards Kobe Bryant, so I kind of felt like LeBron was my guy. I kind of grew up with him, and sure, I wasn't the biggest fan about how he decided to leave Cleveland in the first place with the TV special, but even he's admitted now, like, that was a mistake and he wouldn't have done it. But so just his play on the court is unbelievable. The 4 MVPs, the 3 rings so far, but kind of like Jeter, LeBron, he actually has. His entire career has been under a microscope, the social media, the TMZ era. And the worst thing most people can say about LeBron James is they bring up the decision.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing he's done since entering the league in 2003, 2004. So I think that is incredibly impressive when he has been the guy since he was 16 years old and he's kept his nose out of trouble. He hasn't embarrassed anyone except for Cavs fans, again, for the decision. But just a really good career on and off the court. And the older I get, the more I kind of gravitate to athletes like that.
Yeah, okay, and I get it. You know, earlier in the show, Connor and I were talking about, you know, who our favorite athletes are. Jeter, again, as you know, was one of my favorite athletes, period. You know, before that, Peyton Manning was there. Mike Trout right now, I'm really looking at Mike Trout. And Mike Trout's one of my favorite just players, athletes right now. And I'm talking the full package, the full Monty, man. What he does on the field, the way we don't hear about him off the field. Yeah. I really respect that. You know, I think Connor McDavid is right on deck right now. I really do.
Really?
I like this. I like this kid so much. Just, you know, it'd be nice to watch him over the next couple of years. But LeBron, I just never got to LeBron yet. And that decision, really? I'm just the decision, man. I hate to say it, but I'm right there. The decision really irked me. But now that we've had this conversation, I am not lying to you. Right as you say this, I think my opinion of LeBron is changing just overall, because that was a learning experience, I think.
Yeah.
He got some bad advice there, don't you think, when it came to how he went about that?
I think he's even, you can find quotes where he says, yeah, that was not the right decision to make. Any other decision would have been fine, just instead of televising. And again, too, he raised money for charity in the process. I think that's what always kind of gets lost in that, too.
Yeah.
Like, there was some, he was trying to do good. I guess his intentions were to do good. It just went the complete wrong way. And I think he was very cognizant of that when he decided to return to Cleveland. If you remember, he had that article basically ready to go. And that's when everyone found out at once. There was not going to be multiple meetings. He was not going to have a large circle. I believe actually it was just LeBron, his agent, and maybe one other person were involved in when this decision was going to happen, where he was going to go. So that was, the decision was, I want to say, 7 years ago. And yeah, I think if LeBron had a time machine, I think he would still go to Miami. I just think he would announce that decision rather differently. And that's just what comes when you have the microscope over you for your entire career.
Yeah, we're talking with Mark Mageau from the Jason Greger Show in the Basketball Hour right here on TSN 1260. Mark, let's switch gears here. Last question and last topic here. Really appreciate your time today on this beautiful afternoon. It was just announced that 3-on-3 basketball will be in the Olympics for Tokyo 2020. And, you know, I'm not so sure about this. It's actually the first I heard about it. I didn't really know it was even on the docket as a recommended sport. When rugby sevens came in, I was very unsure about that. That turned out to be a rock and roll, really good move. At the end of the day, it was fast and furious, and it was really fun to watch. 3-on-3 basketball, though, I can't quite yet get my head around it. I don't get it. What's your opinion of this?
Yeah, I'm all in favor of this, actually. There's some really good 3-on-3 leagues, some tournaments, even in our own backyard, Jeff. And it's kind of an art. It's like you mentioned the rugby sevens. It's like rugby, just slightly different. They're only going to play a half court for 3-on-3. You got to kind of basically, it's like a game of pickup. Who hasn't played a game of pickup with their buddies either in school or at the local YMCA? So, yeah, I'm in favor of this. You know, sports like volleyball, they have multiple games in the Olympics. They have your beach volleyball, your regular volleyball. So I'm in favor of this. If I'm an NBA player, I don't know if I want to go in the regular 5-on-5 or 3-on-3, but let's just say that the NBA players want to play the 3-on-3. Just think about some of the configurations the Team USA could throw out there. Like, we could see LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant on one team. And honestly, the way Canadian basketball is maybe starting to trend, Canada could put out a very decent 3-on-3 team as well. So I'm in favor of this. It's something different. It might only be, you know, for a couple years at the Olympics, but I'm all in favor of watching kind of the best players in the world potentially just play a game of pickup.
Yep, I like it. And you know what? I really do like the way the Olympics are going. They're trying to get more hip, I think. Yeah. They're trying to get a little cooler with the younger generation, more X Games-esque. And I think this is going to bring a cool edge. I'm just not sure how is it going to go down. Are the 5-on-5, are the big teams, is the dream team, are players from the dream team also going to play 3-on-3? Yeah. Is this how it's going to break down? Do we know this yet? I haven't seen the breakdown.
No. We're not really too sure on how this is going to work as of just yet. So again, like, that is kind of the big question is, are guys going to be able to play on both, or is it going to be one or the other, or is USA basketball going to maybe try to limit the 3-on-3 to maybe just college players or amateurs? We don't know how this is going to work out, but I hope, though, I know we're in Canada, but I hope it is like beach volleyball where countries can send multiple teams.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see two team USA. I'd like to see two Spanish teams out there. Like, there's enough talent to spread this around. And we all heard stories about the first dream team, one of the scrimmages they had that wasn't televised, so it was essentially only for a couple coaches and maybe 10 members of the media. People say that's one of the best basketball games they've ever seen. Yep. We could see that in a 3-on-3 final between, like I just mentioned, LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant, and they could have another team of Westbrook, Harden, and take your pick. Like, we could see some very fun stuff here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, Mark, listen, really appreciate your time today, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future. There's lots and lots to talk about, especially as the Yankees move on in a very, very special way.
Yeah, kind of quickly, I want to get your thoughts on Aaron Judge, as someone who, you know, watches and studies athletes. You must just love watching the friendly giant get up there in the batter's box and swing that toothpick.
Yeah, you know, here's the great thing about Aaron Judge. This is a superstar in the making. There's no question about it. He'll be sort of this next generation of the power guys, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see a young guy who came into the Yankees organization, spent as little time as possible in the minor leagues, they brought him up quick. And it turned out to be a great decision. And to see him prosper and develop even at this level is truly special, because a lot of guys fall off. So he's only going to get better. He's only going to get better, Mark. And again, we always say, you know, look to the top guys to see how they operate and what they do. He is going to be a really interesting one to watch and follow. And I've been watching him from the middle of last year to see what would happen. This is a real special person and individual, and there's going to be a lot to learn from this character, man, as he moves forward. It's going to be a fun ride for the Yankee fans and everybody in baseball.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man. This was a lot of fun. You got to do it again, too.
Yeah, you got it, Mark. My pleasure. Okay, hey, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to a few text and email questions, and I'm also going to outline the top priorities for sport performance. So if you're an athlete, parent, or coach, stick around for this last segment of Crush Performance right after this. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kreshel, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back. Jeff Kreshel here. The con man is behind the glass, keeping us on track. And if you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. You can get our podcasts. You can check out our blogs. You can get our performance links. And you can also sign up for our newsletter if you wish to get more information on human performance, performance in sports. And whatever dream you're chasing down, there are strategies you can use to get a little bit closer for certain. On Twitter, at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, go to Crush Performance or join our group called The Talent Grid. Great discussion right there with Mark Mageau from the Jason Greger Show and the Basketball Hour right here on TSN 1260. Talking about, first of all, Derek Jeter. And, of course, Mark going to New York to honor one of his favorite players as they retired the great number two in Yankee Stadium. Derek Jeter was an athlete for an era, no question about it. And we often say, look to the top players, the top organizations, to see what's going on and to get an idea, one, where you're going, but two, maybe get an idea on how to get there, what to do, and also what not to do. Earlier in the show, we talked about the great falls in sports, O.J. Simpson. We talked about Lance Armstrong, certainly Tiger Woods. There's a lot to learn from those guys as well in terms of what not to do if you're a young aspiring athlete. And there's so much going on in sport. I just think that a lot of times people don't understand, and athletes especially, even at the highest level, they don't understand how easy it is to get good. Look, it's not so much about talent and natural skill. As a matter of fact, natural skill might not even be a factor in overall end performance. I think natural skill and ability steers you in a direction. We're born with a genetic makeup that allows us to do certain things, whether it's our nervous system or the composition of our muscle, the way our mind works, our personalities. All of this is also influenced by our environments as we're growing up. Our parents, our teachers, our friends, the communities we grow up in. All of this influences where we wind up. But listen, anything is possible. All you need to do is listen to our show from last week where we talked to Gift Ngope, the first African-born player to play in Major League Baseball for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He stepped onto the field for the first time as a Major League player in early May after 8.5 seasons in Pittsburgh's minor league system. Now, here's the thing about Gift. He grew up in a small rural community outside of Johannesburg in a 7x9 meter room with his mom and his brother. Nothing. Pure African poverty. And all he did is he fostered and found a love for a game. And he chased down the dream. For the last 5 years, Gift was voted by Baseball America as the number one defensive player in the Pirates organization. That's from the big leagues right down. He just needed to hit a little bit better. And for the last 2 years, he's been working on his hitting. He hit, I think, about 400 in spring training this year. And when the opportunity came up in May, they called him up and he played his first big league season, which was historical. The first African-born player to play Major League Baseball. Fast forward to this weekend, to the French Open. And Jelena Ostapenko, the quote is everywhere. She believes anything is possible. The first unseeded woman to win the French Open. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me it's not possible because I just don't buy it. We know the limitations, but here's what I want everybody to understand. And again, I was lucky enough to speak earlier this week at a sports awards banquet at one of the local high schools. And it was great because it got me thinking about a few things that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And one of them was just how possible it is. If people understood what the number one factor is in determining success and high performance, no matter what you do, what would you guess that number one thing to be? Connor, if I were to ask you, okay, off the cuff, sorry to put you on the spot here, but if I were to ask you, what do you think is the number one determining factor that when we look back on the success of an athlete, what is the number one factor that allowed them to achieve greatness in their endeavor? I don't care what the sport is.
Oh, geez. You know, there's obviously a lot of combinations. Sure. Everything has to go right. But for me, I think just desire and work ethic.
Yeah, man. Okay. And that is right in the wheelhouse. All these words that we talk about. And the number one word that we use now is grit. Grit, perseverance. And that's determination, desire. That's all these intangibles. And here's what I'm here to tell you. The intangibles are not so intangible anymore. And so we're just about out of time here. We're going to get to a few text questions next week. Let's follow up next week because we're out of time. And I'm also going to outline the top priorities for athlete development. And these can be applied well beyond sport. There's no question about it. You just have to pick your endeavor and fine tune it for yourself. I'm going to give you a big clue. You need to look in the mirror and focus on that person you're looking at. Because until you take care of that person and understand what you need to do individually to be successful, you got a long, hard road ahead of you. But I'm telling you right now, if you can accurately define what you need to do, you've already partially solved the problem. You need to become a problem solver. And we're going to pick that up next week. Hey, I have to thank Mark Mageau for joining us today, talking about Derek Jeter. Thanks, Conman. And I want to thank you guys for listening. More sport performance next week on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you then.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.